tell you. Boy, I said, why are you happy? You're only six. That's the highest I've ever been. 6.5, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you, this thing here, this is one of these sissy mics. I'll tell you. Here. No, you keep that. And I'll keep this. And we'll preach. Good to see you, man. Great crowd tonight. Amen. Good to see everybody here. And I'm trusting that we have a good meeting tonight. Amen. Well, if you don't forget, we got the music and the preaching tapes back there. Brother Chip's already went back there. He bought every sermon I have. And so he's ready to preach when he goes out. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn over to two passages. James chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. James chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 3. While you're turning over there, I'm going to read just a couple other scripture passages. I think you'll get the direction that we're headed in tonight. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Bible says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast. But then right after that, God says this, unmovable. You say, why does God always sometimes say the same thing twice? He wants you to understand, this is very important. Whenever he repeats something, whenever he maybe uses a different word with the same, it is very, very important to God. And so God says this, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brother, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast, there it is again, in the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, look real quickly here at James chapter 1 and verse 6. And we could read you, folks, we could read you many, many other verses tonight. James chapter 1, look at verse 6. But let him ask in faith, what are those next two words? Nothing wavering. What does that word nothing mean? Nothing. Amen? That's in the Greek, that nothing. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me ask you something. Does God want instability in our lives, yes or no? No. What does he want? He wants stability. He wants what we call steadfastness. Amen? But now, wait a minute. Over in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14, he goes a step further. Now, get what we just said here. God does not want instability in anybody's life. He doesn't want anybody to waver in their spiritual life. He wants steadfastness. But now he goes a step further. Watch this. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. What's the next word? Steadfast. There it is again. Steadfast. But wait a minute. Unto the end. How long does God want you to be steadfast? Either until the day we die or until the Lord comes back. You know what that tells me? That someday for every one of us, there will be absolutely no excuse for spiritual instability in our lives. Every man, every woman, every young person, God wants you to live a stable spiritual life. Does he not? And so let's talk about this a little bit tonight. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, bless the time that we have here tonight. Lord, I pray that we would understand tonight that What we're about to preach on, it's nothing new. If we've been saved for any length of time, I have no doubt in my mind we have heard this area preached on in one way or another over and over and over again. Or for maybe some folks tonight here that are maybe kind of new Christians or whatever. Lord, I pray that maybe they get this down and they would have a desire in their heart to stay steadfast to the end. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say two things here before you start. First of all, get this, it is man that is double-minded and not God. This scares me. In fact, it's many times I think about this is one of the motivations that I have to try and do what's right. God says this, if man is double-minded in one area, is that very many? That's not many. Think of all the areas. If I am double-minded in one area of my life, eventually I'm going to be double-minded in every single area of my life. Now, you know what? That right there ought to scare every one of us. You ever wonder why some folks make it and some don't? You ever wonder about that? You ever say, make it, serve God until the day they die? And then there's others, they serve God for a little bit and then they fall by the way. Why is that? I get into some churches, and of course I've been coming here for a number of years now, and there's other churches. I've had 12, 15 meetings in them. And you go to a church and you see a family and stuff like that, and oh boy, you think, boy, they're a nice couple, they're a nice family and everything. And then about 3-4 years later, you come back and you kind of remember them. You say, well, preacher, that family, Brother Behrens, they fell by the wayside. Why is that? Why is it that so many of us today, I see it everywhere I go, why is it that so many of us today, we're Christians, we're saved, we're on our way to heaven. Am I not right? We ought to have the abundant life. But there's so many of us today, we never seem happy. We don't seem to have the peace and the joy of our salvation. Why is that? I mean, it seems like some people, they've made it a hobby. So, they walk around, they crab, they complain, they pick. And you just want to shut up in Christian love. Why is it that there are so many of us that seem to be so up and down emotionally? We wake up in the morning, get out of bed, and our attitude is, I just want to die. At noon, we're back on top of the mountain.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
At night, we're back on suicide watch. We're out at Walmart looking for a straight-edge razor. Come on. Why is that? Now, get this. You might tonight expect a long, deep theological discourse on why all this, but you know what? You'd be wrong. Do you know what our problem is today? It's what I call the basics. When you forget the basics, when you forget what got you to where you're at tonight, that's when the devil, in fact, I preached a little bit on that last night, didn't we? But when you forget what got you to where you're at tonight, that's when the devil is going to slip in and trip you up. Folks, listen, for every one of us, think about it, for every one of us in the Christian life, God doesn't want anybody in here to live a discouraged Christian life. You ever think about that? Hey, God doesn't want anybody in here to live a life that is dominated by sin. God doesn't want anybody in here tonight to live a life where emotions, anger, bitterness, pride, things like that, run and rule your life. John 10:10, what does God say? God wants us to have what he calls the abundant life. Am I not right? What is that? That is the life that is above the ordinary. That's the idea. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have valleys, don't we? We all have battles. We all have trials. But by and large, there's something wrong if you don't go through life and you don't have spiritually what God calls the abundant life. And let me add this. God isn't in the business of complicating things. God doesn't look down from heaven and say, you know what? I'm going to make this so hard to understand that most Christians will go through life unhappy. God doesn't do that. It's the basics. How did David fall? Hey, hundreds of books have been written on David. How did David fall? He forgot the basics. How did Samson fall? He forgot the basics. How do we fall? We forget the basics. Now, how can, tonight, as we sit here, how can we stay steadfast till the end? Hey, wouldn't you like to do that? Hey, I don't know about you. One of my great, great goals in life, it really is the day that I drop over dead, or God comes back, more than anything else in the world, I still want to be faithfully serving my Savior. So how can I do that? I believe as we read all these verses, the idea of instability, the idea of being steadfast, the idea of staying steadfast to the end. I want to give you tonight five, and they're going to be real quick, but five basic Bible principles on how every one of us in here tonight can stay steadfast to the end. Wouldn't you like to be serving God when you die? Okay, I'll guarantee you you've heard them preached a dozen times before. Let me add this too. If you will do things God's way, God gives you a guarantee that you still will be serving Him the day you die. Man will promise you everything in the world. Am I not right? Look at TV ads today. Look at the billboards. They promise you, but you know what? Man very seldom can ever deliver. Am I not right? Do this. Get this. You'll be happy. No, you won't. More often than not, you'll be sadder at the end than you will. But if you do things God's way, listen to me, you'll be happy. You'll have the abundant life. God gives you a lifetime guarantee. A few years ago, our refrigerator went south. Y'all know what that means? And so we went to Home Depot. Y'all know what a Home Depot is around here? I know you got a Lowe's now, don't you? You guys are getting big time. I'll tell you. Man. But so we went to Home Depot. And in Home Depot there, I met the single best salesman I've ever met in my life. His name was Greg. Never forget him. We walk in and we're looking at fridges. And he comes up and he says, you guys looking at that fridge? I said, yeah. He says, let me tell you about it. And man, I tell you, he had it down. I mean, he knew stuff about that refrigerator that the company didn't even know. I mean, he's going on and on. And I did something, literally, I shocked my wife. I did something I have never done in my life. I stopped him about three quarters of the way through his sales pitch. And I said, Greg, stop. I said, you sold me. We'll take it. He goes, he walks over, he opens up the computer, and he starts taking down all the information. And, you know, he was telling me, during the sales pitch, he says, you get this refrigerator, and he says, it'll take care of you for the rest of your life. I mean, you know, I mean, at our age, that's what we want, you know, and because it isn't very long, you know. And so, you know, I mean, you'll never have another problem for the rest of you. And I mean, that sold me. And so he's typing all the information in, And then he looks at us and he says this. Now he says, Mr. Behrens, he says, do you want more than just the 1 year guarantee? And I said, what? I said, you just told me that this thing would last me the rest of my life. He looks at me and he smiles and he says, you never know. Huh? Now, get this. We laugh. But listen to me. Isn't that the world? That's man at his best. You never know. But can I just say, listen, that's not the way God works. I'll guarantee you follow these five steps, and I'll guarantee you will live the abundant life. I'll guarantee you that. Let me give them to you real quickly. First of all, now you may want to take a piece of paper, pen, whatever it might be, and just kind of maybe got some of these things down. In fact, your preacher already gave the first point last night. Well, you're pretty smart, aren't you? And he didn't even know it. Number one, are you ready? Can you handle number one? Here it is. Number one, be sure to keep a regular appointment with God. Now, stop writing real quick and just look up here for a second. I can read faces. Here's what I saw. A lot of you, and I'm glad you have pens and papers out, and you're doing this. And when I said, be sure to keep a regular appointment, just for a second, here's what I saw. Now, do you know what that face said? Huh? That face said this. I thought you were going to give us some kind of magic formula. Am I not right? I thought you were going to give us some kind of a catchy phrase that would rhyme. Huh? And we say this, preacher, if I have heard that once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Am I not right? Come on. But wait, here's the question you need to ask yourself. Be honest, do you do it? There's a big difference between knowing you ought to do it and doing it. Do you know why, listen to me, do you know why so many of us aren't right? You know why so many of us, we never make it, we fall by the wayside? Hey, here it is. God's way is too simple. We know we ought to do it, don't we? Come on. This is the most basic aspects of the Christian, but we don't do it. And if we can't do the basic, isn't this one of the basics? If we can't do the, how in the world do we ever expect to see revival then? You know you ought to do it, but then you don't do it. What does that make us? It makes us come on. Double-minded. Boy, it's hard keeping your attention tonight, I'll tell you. I can't act like this all night. Come on. We know we ought to do it. We don't do it. Again, what's that make you? Double-minded. And God says that it ought to scare you. God says if you are double-minded in this area, think about it, there's consequences. It may take a while, but eventually you are going to be double-minded in every other area. You're going to be unstable. Man, there's hardly a week that doesn't go by that I don't run into people always having problems, always on the verge of quitting, always having an attitude, always living in the valley, never seeing real spiritual victory. This is the heart of the matter. If you don't spend time with God, you are going to be living on emotions. You're going to be making decisions based on the flesh instead of God's will. And it's so simple, isn't it? Hey, Chip, do you need to eat? Now, I knew what you'd say there. That's a guarantee yes. Amen? Do you need to eat? If you don't eat, what's going to happen? You're going to, and then eventually, You're going to die. Does that make sense? Job chapter 23, verse 12. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. God says it is more important that you feed every day on the Word of God for spiritual nourishment than you sit down and you eat physical food. That's how important this is to God. You need a job, Jip. No. You have a job, I know, but don't make me come back here again. We need to make money, amen? We'll call it that. Listen, as spiritual as we want to put it, if you don't bring in money, you can't buy food. If you can't buy food, you can't eat. And if you can't eat, you're going to die. Amen? Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What's God saying there? God says this. Think about this. It is more important that you mine the nuggets and the treasures of the Word of God than to go out into the world and become a millionaire. Do you need to sleep? Mr. Jetlag. Absolutely. Oh, pressure. I just dream of the day when I can sleep for 20 hours. Huh? Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee and will look up. God says, you know what? It is more important that you lose maybe 15 minutes or 30 minutes of sleep than to walk out into the world unprepared. And that's why so many of us fall. We walk into the devil's ambush every day. We're not ready. Do we need to drink? If we don't drink, we dehydrate, and then we what? We die. Psalm chapter 63, the last part of verse 1. It says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land. But then if I were to ask the question, and we were to be brutally honest with ourselves, do you need to spend time? Preacher, I just don't have time. Preacher, I'm just so busy. Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see, when you are not willing to set aside a time to spend in the Word of God, you are setting yourself up for instability. Mark it down. Hey, you may last 5 seconds, but I'm telling you, listen, you're not going to be as steadfast as you ought to be. And you're a prime candidate to fall by the wayside. Number one, be sure to keep a regular appointment with God. Number two, cultivate a habit of daily commitment. Hey, aren't these easy? Cultivate a habit, I'm going to explain this, of daily commitment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I die what? Daily. It's not I die whenever I feel like it. I die daily. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. And follow me. Cultivate a habit of daily commitment. Now, here's the point. All of us have the old flesh nature. All of us, listen to me, all of us have problems in our life. Right now, Pharisees do this right now. Come on, help me out there. Come on, everybody. We all do. We all have weaknesses. If you are ever going to get those areas under control, if you're ever going to get the victory in those areas of your life so that you can be stable and dependable in God's service until the day you die, listen, there's got to be a daily commitment to work on it. Folks, listen to me. You can't just come down the aisle. Hey, and I'm glad you do. We've had great altar calls. But you can't just come down the aisle, kneel down, say, oh God, I'm sorry, help me, and then walk out and then, forget about it. Isn't that, come on, I'm guilty. I've done it. If the Holy Spirit thinks that something is important enough in your life to deal with you, hey, shouldn't we consider it important enough to remember we walk out the door and do something about it when we get home and tomorrow and the next day? Here's how it works. Here's how it works. When's the last time when you get out of bed? This is exactly how it works. It's how I do it in my life. We get out of bed, and as soon as we get out of bed, before we think of breakfast, work, school, anything, we get out of bed and we say, God, today, help me to live for you. Help me to serve you. God, help me to keep a pure mind. What is that? That is a daily commitment. Am I not right? I've got a list. I've got more than one weak area. I know you guys don't, but I do. But I got a number of weak areas. Every day of my life, when I get out of bed and I have my time, I go through that list. And I say, Lord, you know, I'll give you. In fact, I think a few years ago, I preached at a family conference. I preached a message and I mentioned this. I'll mention it again because I'm still working on it. I have a real problem in my life. Now, I know you can't notice this, but I have a real problem with patience. You probably can't tell. Anybody want to join in on that and say, preacher, come on. Yeah, I thought so. I can see some of your wives doing this too. If you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. Now, understand something. I've come 1,000 miles since I've been saved. I've come a long way. But you know what? To this day, I still deal with it. Every day, listen, here's how it works. I get out of bed, and by the way, who else knows I have this problem? An enemy. The devil. So here's how it works. I get out of bed, and this is at the top of my list. This is the number one. There's other things, but this has worked its way up over the years. I get out of bed, and I said, Lord, you know that I have a problem with patience. Of course, he knows that well. Lord, help me today control my patience, my anger. Lord, help me to treat other people the way I'd want to be treated. Lord, help me. I'm just being honest with you here. Help me not to snap at my wife. I've done that. Help me not to say things that I regret. Help me not to say things that I know I really... Is that how you... Come on. Now, watch. The devil knows. Real quickly, the devil knows. So, here's what happens. It happened today. I go to Walmart. Can you kind of tell I'm not patient? I go to Walmart. I am not one of them... I'm not one of them big castor, you know, one of them. No, I'm fast. I go through the fast mover lane. Come on. 20 items or less. That's it. You ask my wife. I buy no more than 20 items. If I got to go back, I go back twice, but no more than 20. I can't stand the wait. So here I am. Inevitably. Happened today. Both lanes. Old women. And I don't mean that mean. Yeah, I can tell you two right there. Yep, I can tell. They're like, oh, was it us? Yeah. I get up there and here they are. They don't have 20. They got like 30 or 40. I'm thinking, can't you count? Where'd you go to school? Who taught you math? That's what I want to say. And my knuckles are getting white. And the card is just... And so here she is. And she looks at me. And I go... She gets done. And they run the bananas through. And she goes, I think those bananas might be on sale for a penny less. And I'm thinking, this ain't Kmart, this is Walmart. We don't do price checks at Walmart, you know what I mean? And then they get to the end. They get to, and then this is the part. They get to the end, they ring it up, that'll be $47.92. And then and only then does she begin to look for her purse. And she says, I think I might have the exact change. And I'm thinking, I'll pay it for you. I'll pay for it. I want to take that cart and I want to, boom! And I want to, I want to knock her into Aunt Annie's pretzel stand. Amen? Ah! Now, wait a minute. Do I do it? Oh, I've come close. I don't do it. Watch, I don't do it. I don't even say, in fact, when they look at me, I smile. It's a fake smile, but I smile. I'm just, you know. And I have gotten to the place, listen, I have gotten to the place, two things. Number one, God reminds me. Bill, you just prayed this morning. How important is this to you? It's a reminder. Hey, I made it important in my life. God makes it important. And then number two, here's what I think. Hey, this has helped me. I think to myself, you know what? That could be my mother. That could be my mother. And God gives me the victory over it. That's how it's going to work. That's how it has to work if you want to get the victory over weak areas of your life. Number one, keep a regular appointment with God. Number two, cultivate a habit of daily commitment. Number three, clean house thoroughly. Simple, isn't it? I could preach hours on it. We preached a little bit about this last night. We started talking about repenting. Clean house thoroughly. Psalm 51, verse 2. Wash me thoroughly. There it is. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I believe with all my heart. I've been at this for over 40 years. I believe almost all failure and instability in a Christian's life is due to unconfessed sin. Amen. It's not because of reasons. It's not because of excuses. It's because of unconfessed sin. You want God to use you? You want to see revival? You want to make sure you carry the right attitude through life? Confess unconfessed sin. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe unto you. This is Jesus. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, Hypocrites! Well, you thought we were tough preachers. How'd you like to sit under the preaching of Jesus? For ye are like, whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Why is our Lord getting on the scribes in the Pharisees? I'll tell you why. They were one thing on the outside, but another thing on the inside. Now, it is kind of important how we look on the outside. Amen? But it is also every bit as important how you look on the inside. And all too often today, man, we come out to church and, man, we're all prettied up. Clothes are nice. Hair's nice. And aftershave and perfume. And we talk good. We smile good. We sing good. We carry our Bibles. But wait a minute. What's the inside like? Those of us that are preachers, we could get up here for an hour. We could tell story after story after story of preachers, great preachers that we knew. Talent, glib tongue. They could preach circles around us. And all of a sudden, one day, the house comes down. And other preachers are saying, man, what happened? I mean, what in the world? I'll tell you, listen, really very simple. Unconfessed sin. I tell young people, I think it's good for adults because it's easy to understand. But I tell young people at camps, when it comes to sin, every one of us, every day of our life, ought to do a house cleaning. Take some spiritual whisk. Amen? Take some spiritual Lysol. I'm kind of partial to Mr. Clean. Take a scrub brush. Listen, take a scrub brush and do a spiritual house cleaning every day of your life. Number four, prepare to guard. Now get this, prepare to guard your, what was that next word? What was that word right there that I just used? You didn't get that, did you? Prepare to guard your personal weak spots. Now let me say it again, maybe you get this. Prepare to guard your personal weak spot. You say, preacher, why are you parking on you? I'll tell you why. Because we like to stick our nose in everybody else's business. Come on. Hey, you know why we do it? Because it's the flesh. It just lends itself to that. We have the tendency, we've got this unique ability of being able to see everybody else's weak area. Am I not right? Come on. We are. Man, we can go up to people and like, can you tell me? Oh, yeah, you got an hour. I can tell you about him. Now, folks, we better understand something here. I've got too many problems in my own life. I'm talking about me. I've got too many problems in my own life to go sticking my nose in everybody else's business. And so I am better off keeping my nose in my business. Because I'm going to answer to God someday for my business. Does that make sense? And not your business. And so, listen, I don't mean this, I'm not trying to be mean, but mind your own business. I'm not being mean. Come on. I'm just preaching. Prepare to guard your personal weak spot. Psalm 89, verse 40. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruins. You say, well, preacher, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Psalm verse 7, chapter 7, verse 15, he made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the ditch which he made. Here's the idea. God likens our weak areas as pits, as ditches, okay? And God says this, if you don't put a perimeter, if you don't put a guard, if you don't put a hedge around and work on that weak area, what's going to happen? You're going to fall into it. Over and over and over. Listen, go back to me again. And patience. If I didn't work at it, What's that doing? I'm putting a hedge, a perimeter around that weak area. Am I not right? If I did not guard my anger and my patience, man, I got you. You ask Mom, she'd tell you, oh, you should have seen him before he got saved. And I would fight at the drop of it. I mean, I'd explode. For no reason. And if I wouldn't have worked at it over and over and over, what happened? I'd have fallen. I wouldn't be serving God anymore. I'd be emotionally unstable. That's yet. When I was in the Marine Corps and I went over to Vietnam, the doctrine of war in Vietnam was an offensive doctrine. Y'all know what I'm talking about there? The idea, hey, here, let's get this. In Vietnam, we expended 50,000 rounds of ammunition for every casualty we inflicted. Now, most of those misses were Army and Navy. The Marines basically were one shot, one kill. Amen? But now listen. Why was that? The Vietnam War was an offensive war. But you know what I saw when I got over, when I got to my outpost? You know what I learned the first day? That offense wasn't nearly as important as defense. You say, what do you mean? If I had a nickel for every sandbag I filled, for every bunker I helped build, I'd be rich. I'd be rich. The words that you never, ever, ever wanted to hear was somebody yelling, they're in the wire. When you heard those, and we heard them about, I think we heard them twice while I was over, they're in it. When you heard those words, they're in the wire, they're through the, you were in big time trouble. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Your weak areas are your perimeter, and you better beef them up. You had better work day and night to strengthen those areas. Let me give you the last one here real quickly here. Be sure to keep a regular appointment with God. Cultivate a habit of daily commitment. Clean house thoroughly. Listen, don't allow pride or excuses to keep you from confessing sin. Clean house thoroughly. Prepare to guard your personal weak spots. And then lastly, get yourself some spiritual goals in your life. There's an old saying, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ with strengtheneth me. Anything that you know that God wants you to do, even conquering weak areas, accomplishing things through a ministry, whatever it might be, you can do it. You can do it. I am not only going to clean house, but I'm going to add these things. When I first got saved, I had to get rid of thousands of dollars worth of rock music. But when I got rid of that music, then there was a void. Am I not right? Now what did I have to add? Good music. That's the idea. Every one of us, folks, every one of us in here, we ought to have a list of spiritual goals. I wouldn't do it. But if I went through here tonight and asked everybody, what do you want in life spiritually? What do you want to accomplish? Would you have a list of goals? Do you have things in your heart or maybe even on a paper list that you could say, this is what I want to do more than anything else for God, accomplish for God in my life? What is so sad, and I'm done, what is so sad is I meet people, they live their life, they die, and they look back and their life is a complete waste. How does that happen? No goals. No goals. If you want to do something for God, you've got to have spiritual goals. Hey, aren't these simple? They're what I call probably the basics of the Christian life. But I'm going to tell you something. If we don't incorporate these areas into our life, then we're going to be unstable. We're not going to be steadfast to the end, to the day we die. God help us to be so. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.